Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all this morning as we gather together to worship on this Sunday and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good indeed to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be here among all of you, among all the saints. And so we give God thanks for this special time to come together to worship and praise the name of the Lord. Just remind everyone that we are have resumed our Wednesday night Bible study. Would like to have everyone come out to Bible study if you're not doing anything, if there's you got time, come out on Wednesday night for Bible study. Sometimes people come up to me and they have a question about the Bible or some things they want to discuss about the Bible, and you know, Wednesday night's a wonderful opportunity to come out to Bible study and to learn about the Bible, to study the Bible, to take the time to study the Bible in depth. So Wednesday nights at 6:30, we are here in the evening. So please come out and join us as we study together the Word of God. Of course, there are other things that are going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please read your bulletin and also go to our webpage as we continue to worship together during the summer months. Summer will be over before we know it, and it will be time to restart the regular programming of the year. But please take the time to stay abreast with what's going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our scripture reading this morning is going to come, our Old Testament scripture reading, it's going to come from 1 Kings. We'll be reading from the third chapter of 1 Kings, beginning with verse 3 and reading through verse 14. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. And Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness in heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit in his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Our second reading will come from the epistle lesson assigned for this week. We'll be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 15 and reading through verse 20. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I like what Paul says here in our reading from Ephesians this morning. Paul says, be careful how you live. As God's people, we're reminded that we just can't live in any kind of way, but we have to be careful. We have to be full of care in how we live, full of care for ourselves, full of care for each other, and of course, full of care for the ways of God. Be careful, says Paul, how you live. There's a word, of course, that encompasses that careful living, the kind of careful living that Paul is talking about, and that word is wisdom. As God's people, we are called to live wisely. That's what Paul says. Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. But of course, living wisely is easier said than done. When I was a kid, I thought that wisdom had a lot to do with knowledge. It had a lot to do with obtaining information. The more knowledge you had, the more information you had, the more you were able to live wisely. And maybe there may be something to that. But the problem is that we live in a world that is overrun with knowledge. We live in a world that is overrun with information. In fact, most of us carry around in our hands these little handheld computers that give us access to reams of information. I Googled something the other day on Google Scholar, and I got page after page after page of scholarly papers that had to do with what I had Googled. And that's just the kind of world that we live in today. We live in a time when we have oodles of information. We live in a time when we have oodles of knowledge about the world. But what we don't have enough of is wisdom. In fact, it almost seems as a society that the more information we have, the less wise we become. In a world of information overload, Paul reminds us that we need to be careful. Careful how we live. I suspect that wisdom, at least the kind of wisdom that Paul is talking about, doesn't have very much to do with success either. You know, we live in a world, too, with lots of successful people, often people who are extravagantly successful, and we like to elevate them. We like to listen to what they have to say because we think surely these are people that have some wisdom. But have you ever noticed how some of the most successful people seem to be people who are so unwise, people whose personal lives seem to be so broken? I was perusing the autobiography not long ago of Arianna Huffington. She's a very smart woman, a very successful woman, a co-founder of a very influential media organization, the Huffington Post. But she wrote a book recently called Thrive, How to Thrive. And in her book, she wrote that she had everything that the American dream could offer. She had money, she had success, she had influence, she had notoriety, she was on a number of very prominent magazines, she had it all. But she said she didn't know how to live. She didn't have any wisdom. And it almost cost her everything. It almost cost her her health. It almost cost her everything. And in a world where we measure success by how much money we have, by how much status we have, by how much influence and power we have, Paul says, be careful. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. You and I, of course, know that. We know that wisdom is not about how much knowledge we have. It's not about how smart we are. It's not about how successful we are. But wisdom is about walking in the ways of God. It's about walking in the ways of faithfulness, walking in the ways of compassion, walking in the ways of mercy. It's about walking in the ways of God. We heard the psalmist tell us this morning that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's true, but it's only the beginning. The fear of the Lord is only the beginning of wisdom. It's possible to start out having a proper awe and reverence for God and still end up living our lives quite foolishly, still end up living our lives that are far apart from the ways of God because we fail to be careful. Careful in how we live. I think something like that might have happened to King Solomon in our Old Testament reading this morning. You know, Solomon is a very young king who comes to the throne after his father David dies. And we are told that he's very young. He says, I'm only a child, but it's just a reference to his humility. He doesn't have very much experience, but he comes to the throne of God's people. And we are told that he has a dream. And the Lord comes to him in the dream, and the Lord says, ask me anything. Ask me anything, and I will do it for you. Have you ever wondered what you would ask the Lord if the Lord came to you and said, ask me anything? What would you ask the Lord to do? Would you ask the Lord for riches? To win the lottery? Would you ask the Lord for health? Would you ask the Lord to take care of your enemies? that's what I might ask the Lord for. What would you ask the Lord for? The Lord tells Solomon to ask me anything. Ask me anything and I'll do it for you. And Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. The actual Hebrew says that he asked the Lord for a listening heart, which is what you need, I suppose, if you're going to lead people, if you're going to lead God's people. He asked the Lord for wisdom. Give me a listening heart. Give me a heart so that I can hear. Give me a heart so that I can hear the things that I need to hear, so that I can hear the cries and the concerns of the people. Give me a heart so that I can hear what you want me to hear, Lord. Give me a listening heart. Give me wisdom. One of the problems we have today, I think, is that we have leaders who don't hear. But so impressed is the Lord with what Solomon asks that the Lord tells him that not only is he going to give Solomon wisdom, but he's going to give him long life and honor as well. Long life and honor and wealth. He gives it all to Solomon. Because that's the way the Lord is. The Lord often gives us more than what we ask. And so we are told that Solomon is the wisest man in the world. People will come from all over to avail themselves of his wisdom. He is the wisest man in the world, wiser than anyone who's ever lived and wiser than anyone who will ever live. He's the wisest man in the world. That at least is the official press release. But the text is careful to give us another version of the Solomon story, one that is a little less celebrated. It tells us that somewhere along the way, Solomon stopped being careful. He stopped listening to God. He stopped being full of care. He stopped being full of care for the people around him, for the people that he was responsible for. He stopped listening to them. He was so anxious to build elaborate building projects that he levied heavy taxes on the people, and he conscripted many of them into slavery, and he failed to listen to their cries, failed to listen to their agony. He stopped being full of care for the people that he was called to govern. And he stopped being full of care for himself. He allowed himself to be overcome by greed and by lust. The Bible tells us he had over 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's unwise by any measure. And we're told that his daily rations were enough to feed a small army, 1,000 measures of flour and meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 cattle, 100 sheep, including deer, gazelle, fatted fowl, and other wild game. Just one day's worth of rations. He failed to be careful for himself. And most importantly, he stopped being full of care for the ways of God. The Bible tells us that Solomon sacrificed in the high places, which is just a code for saying that he continued to worship many of the foreign idols, the foreign gods. He worshiped and brought the sacred poles right in the household of God. And so this man, this king who started out holding God in reverence, holding God in awe, stopped being careful about how he lived and became not only one of the wisest men who ever lived, but also one of the most foolish men who ever lived. And sadly, we are told that after Solomon's reign, the Israelite kingdom breaks into two, and a big part of the kingdom is lost forever. And if it could happen to Solomon, it could happen to all of us. And so Paul says, be careful. Be careful how you live. Paul says we need to be careful because the times are evil. The times in which we live are evil times. I think we all know that already. We know we live in evil times. We know we live in difficult times, even though Jesus has already ascended into heaven, even though Jesus already has all dominion and authority, even though the forces and the powers of sin and death have already been overcome, already been defeated. You and I live in the time between the times. We live in the time where the old world is already passing away and the new world is still being born. It's already been inaugurated, but it's not here in total yet. And you and I live between the times. And Paul says we need to be careful. We need to be careful because we live in a world that for the most part is living at cross purposes with the ways of God. And we want to make sure that we too are not swayed into living our lives in ways that are at cross purposes with the ways of God. We want to make sure that we are not like Solomon. We want to make sure that we are not so concerned with the ways of the world that we end up living foolish lives. And so Paul says, be careful. Be careful how you live. Paul offers us, of course, a few prescriptions as to how we might live in this time between the times. First, he tells us that we need to make the most of the time. The actual Greek says that we are called to redeem the time or to rescue the time. One commentator I read says that indicates that Paul is saying that we should reclaim the time from the things that have a grip on our time. Think of all the things that have a grip on your time. Paul says it's God's people, we need to redeem the time. And I take that to mean that we are called to fill our time with things that bring life. Life to ourselves and life to others in a death-dealing world. We are called to be people who bring life. But Paul says for us to make the most of time. You know, to much of the world around us, making the most of time means being busy, means being productive, means to live life with gusto. Time is short, time is a gift, time is precious, so make the most out of the time that you have. Be busy, do the things that you always wanted to do, do the things that you like to do, make the most out of the time. But I suspect that for many of us, for God's people, making the most out of the time looks a lot to the rest of the world like a big waste of time. Because for many of us, to make the most out of the time means doing things like praying. Humbling ourselves and praying. Humbling ourselves and praying for ourselves, praying for each other, praying for the world, praying, going to the Lord in prayer. For many people, that seems like just a big waste of time. But it's what you and I are called to be involved in. Praying and studying the word and taking God's word deep inside of ourselves. That's what it means to make the most out of the time. And so we are called to redeem the time, to reclaim it, to make the most of it. And Paul says that we should also be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we live in a time where it's easy to be filled with all kinds of spirits, and there's all kinds of spirits that are around that can fill us up if we're not careful, including alcohol, including substance abuse, but that's not all. There are all kinds of other spirits in our world. There are spirits of lust. There are spirits of greed. There are spirits of anger. There are spirits of division. There are spirits of hatred. There are all kinds of spirits out there in the world that can fill us up if we're not careful. But Paul says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are to be filled with the spirit of love, that we are to be filled with the spirit of grace, with the spirit of joy, with the spirit of compassion. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul calls us to be. To be careful means to be filled with God's Spirit. And lastly, Paul says that we should sing hymns and psalms to one another. That's one of the things I like about church life. You know, we are singing people, as you heard this morning. We are people who sing. We are called to sing, called to sing hymns and psalms to each other. I love to sing. I can't sing, but I love to sing. I love to sing. I don't have anything against some of the more modern trends in worship and congregational worship. I see some of the modern trends, you know, where you put a screen up and people sing from the screen and, you know, they sing praise songs. But I like singing hymns together. I like it when we stand up together and we sing hymns together and we all sing together, whether we can sing or not. You know, old people and young people and kids, we all sing the same hymns, and then we're singing hymns and psalms for each other. I love that. Remember, few years back, we couldn't sing, could we, because of COVID. We made it dangerous to sing. But singing is who we are. It's who we are as God's people. We were called to sing hymns and songs. I was at ShopRite yesterday, and there was a group of ladies, church ladies. I assume they were from a local congregation, but they were out in front of ShopRite, and they were singing. They were singing songs and singing hymns, and I was arrested by it because, you know, you rarely see people out in public singing. But there they were in ShopRite, in the midst of all the cacophony of noise, in the midst of all the other music, or what you might want to call music, you know, rap songs. People had their radios on, and there was a store next door that had some advertising music going on, and there was all kind of music, but there were these ladies, and they were singing, and they were singing to each other, and they were singing to God, and they were singing of God's goodness. And what would happen is if we as God's people would sing more in public. I wonder how that would enhance our message. But Paul calls us to sing hymns to one another. And then very last, but certainly not least, he says that we should give thanksgiving to God. You know, we can get so busy sometimes that we forget to express our gratitude to God. You know, Paul has already told us earlier in the book of Ephesians all the wonderful things that God has done for us. God has lavished us with every spiritual gift. God has adopted us and called us into the household of God's people. God has done all of these wonderful things. God has already begun to redeem us and to redeem the world. God has done all these wonderful things. And Paul says that we should give thanks to God. One of the things I would encourage you to do each day at the end of the day is just write down five things to give God thanks for. You know, sometimes we can become so overcome by what's not going right in the world. What if we just took a moment at the end of the day to think of five things that we can give God thanks for? Maybe it was a card we received in the mail from someone. Maybe it was a telephone call that someone gave us. Maybe, you know, it was a gift we received. Maybe it was just for the rain outside or for the sunshine. What are the things that we can give God thanks for? Just take some time to give God thanks for all the wonderful ways that God has blessed us. And Paul says, those are Paul's prescriptions for living a careful life. Now, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that Paul's prescriptions for care look an awful lot like worship. Looks an awful lot like what we do when we come together every Sunday, when we come here every Sunday. Isn't that what we do every Sunday? When we come here, we redeem the time, we reclaim the time. We take this 1 hour and we say, we're going to take this 1 hour that God has given us, this 1 hour that the world would like to claim. We're going to take this hour, we're going to take it back from the world. We're not going to sleep in, we're not going to do anything else with it, but we're going to take this 1 hour and we're going to worship God. We're going to praise God. We're going to give it to God. We redeem the time. And isn't that what we do every Sunday when we come here to this place? We join ourselves in a community of God's people, a community where the Holy Spirit is flowing in our midst. And we learn what it is to be the people of God. We have God's Spirit flowing through us and in us, God's Spirit of joy and peace and reconciliation and love and forgiveness. We allow ourselves to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And isn't that what we do every Sunday when we come here? We come here and we sing songs and we sing praises to God. We lift our voices to God, to all the wonderful things that God has done for us. And of course, we give God thanks God, thanks for all the ways that God has blessed us within the course of the week. And Paul says that somehow the careful life, a life that conveys wisdom, is a life that is rooted and grounded in worship. I wonder if that's what happened to King Solomon. I wonder if Solomon forgot that. I wonder if Solomon was so busy with all of his riches and so busy with all of the things that God had given him, if he had allowed himself to become so busy, so preoccupied, so distracted that he forgot to go to worship on Sunday morning, that he forgot to go to church, he forgot to live a careful life. I wonder if he would have gotten up and came to church every Sunday. Maybe he would have been more careful. He would have been more careful how he lived. And that's what Paul says to all of us this morning. Paul says, be careful. Be careful how you live. You can't live in just any old kind of way. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a way you are called to live. You can't give your life to any old kind of thing. There's a way that you are called to live as God's people. You're called to live in ways that are separate from the ways all around you. You're called to be people of love, people of compassion, people of joy in a joyless world. You're called to be God's own people. Be careful. Be careful that you display the heart of God in what you do and what you say and in how you relate. Be careful how you live. Because you're called to be a light into the world. You're called to be the salt of the earth. You're called to be the place where the world finds wisdom. So make sure you live in ways that are wise and not unwise. Be careful how you live. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us together this morning to be your special people, to be a people who are called to live into your wisdom. The wisdom that you have given each and every one of us through your Spirit, the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the wisdom that directs our footsteps and that directs our hearts so that we are called into ways of living that are commensurate with your coming kingdom. Lord, we pray that you will help us as your people to truly be careful with what you have given us so that we may truly have a listening heart as we discern and seek to walk in your ways. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.